A routine chest CT scan at 45 revealed an unsettling truth. Coronary artery calcifications lurking in the heart of a cardiologist who knew exactly what they meant. Standard risk calculators offered reassurance, just a 2% chance of heart attack within 10 years. But numbers don't tell the whole story. With two grandfathers who died suddenly from cardiac events and South Asian heritage stacking the odds, this wasn't just medical data. It was a preview of a likely ending. Here's the uncomfortable reality. The organ keeping you alive might also be plotting your demise. This fist-sized muscle beats nearly 3 billion times over a lifetime, yet it's been the world's leading killer since 1910. How did humanity's most romanticized organ become its greatest threat? Unlike any other organ, the heart operates independently, pumping blood to itself without relying on the brain. Ancient Egyptians preserved it during mummification, while Aztecs offered beating hearts to their gods. Even today, families struggle accepting brain death when a heart continues its rhythmic dance. This self-sufficiency has elevated the heart beyond mere biology into the realm of symbol and meaning. The word courage derives from the Latin cor, heart. The Valentine shape appeared in 13th century paintings of lovers. Our language overflows with cardiac metaphors. Take heart means courage. Speak from the heart signals sincerity. Learn by heart means memorize. Biological reality intertwines with metaphor. Studies of nearly 30,000 patients found psychosocial factors were as strong risk factors for heart attacks as high blood pressure. Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, broken heart syndrome, illustrates this connection. After extreme stress or grief, the heart acutely weakens, ballooning into the shape of a Japanese octopus trap. Cases spike after public speaking, gambling losses, domestic disputes, even surprise parties. Following a major Japanese earthquake, cases increased 24-fold. The biological heart and its metaphorical counterpart overlap in ways that challenge our separation of mind and body. For centuries, the heart's function remained mysterious. William Harvey shattered ancient theories in his 1628 monograph, De Motu Cordis, proving the heart is a pump circulating blood in a closed circuit. He demonstrated that if blood were consumed as believed, the liver would impossibly produce 500 pounds hourly. Modern understanding reveals the right ventricle pumps blood to the lungs for oxygen. Then, oxygen-rich blood flows through the left heart to nourish the body before returning through veins. Until the early 1800s, the heart was surgically forbidden. Aristotle declared cannot withstand injury, and cardiac wounds treated with quiet rest and leeches resulted in 90% mortality. By the late 19th century, pioneers emerged. Daniel Williams operated on James Cornish in 1893, suturing a lacerated artery and pericardium. Cornish walked out 2 months later, outliving Williams by 12 years. Lederig Wren performed the first heart muscle repair in 1896, suturing Wilhelm Justus's ventricle. At a Berlin surgical meeting, Wren proclaimed the feasibility of cardiac repair no longer remains in doubt. Heart surgery faced a critical barrier. The brain suffers irreversible damage after just 3 to 5 minutes without oxygen, yet most heart repairs require at least 10 minutes. The solution, the heart-lung machine, was among the boldest and most successful feats of man's mind. John Gibbon conceived it in 1930, but development took 25 years, delayed by depression, war, and resistance to mechanically replacing the organ that houses the soul. See Walton Lilhigh, a cancer survivor given a 25% chance of living 5 years, approached death with unusual courage that fueled his innovations. In his modest attic lab at the University of Minnesota, he developed controlled cross-circulation, inspired by mother-fetus circulation. He connected two anesthetized dogs through a milk pump, allowing one to serve as heart and lungs for the other during surgery. His first human patient was 13-month-old Gregory Glidden. Using the boy's father as donor, Lilhigh connected them via beer hose and milk pump, repairing the dime-sized hole in Gregory's heart. Though Gregory died 11 days later from pneumonia, his defect remained closed. Lilhigh performed 45 cross-circulation operations with 28 survivors. Meanwhile, Gibbon partnered with IBM to scale his machine for humans, succeeding in 1953. Today's compact heart-lung machines enable over 1 million cardiac operations annually worldwide. The 1948 Framingham Heart Study revolutionized cardiovascular medicine when heart disease caused nearly half of U.S. deaths. President Roosevelt's untreated hypertension reached 300/190 before a fatal stroke at 63. Doctors didn't even know heart attacks resulted from artery blockages. Tracking 5,200 patients for 10 years, researchers identified hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, and smoking as major culprits. Framingham coined risk factor in 1961 and created formulas to predict 10-year heart disease risk. Visualizing blockages remained impossible until Mason Soans accidentally discovered coronary angiography in 1958. Crazy Charlie Daughter pioneered angioplasty in 1964 on 82-year-old Laura Shaw facing amputation, using progressively larger catheters to reopen her blocked leg artery. She walked out unaided. Andreas Grunzik refined this with an inflatable balloon inspired by a toy store discovery. Today, millions of angioplasties are performed yearly, with success rates exceeding 90%. The heart is fundamentally an electrical organ, with each beat beginning in the sinoatrial node, the natural pacemaker. George Mines, a Cambridge physiologist and former piano prodigy, made two critical discoveries. He identified re-entry, small electrical channels creating self-sustaining circuits, and discovered the vulnerable period, a brief 10-millisecond window when chest impacts can trigger fibrillation in healthy hearts, explaining sudden athlete deaths. Tragically, Mines died in 1914 at age 28, likely from self-experimentation. Ventricular fibrillation occurs when chaotic electrical impulses cause the heart to quiver ineffectively. Wilson Greatbatch accidentally created the first implantable pacemaker by installing the wrong resistor, producing a pulse mimicking the heartbeat. Working with surgeon William Shardack, he successfully tested it in humans in 1960. Mikhail Murovsky, a Holocaust survivor whose friend died of ventricular tachycardia, developed the implantable defibrillator despite widespread rejection. FDA approval came in 1985, launching technology that has saved millions of lives. Bernard Lone's research revealed that psychological stress triggers dangerous arrhythmias. Nearly 20% of sudden arrhythmia survivors experienced acute stress within 24 hours before their attacks, public humiliation, separation, bereavement, or business failure. Patients with implantable defibrillators often develop debilitating anxiety after experiencing shocks, described as like a donkey rearing his hind legs and hitting you right in the chest with full force. This anxiety triggers additional arrhythmias, creating a vicious cycle. Despite remarkable technological advances contributing to a 60% drop in cardiovascular mortality since 1968, progress has plateaued. Smoking rates leveled off, obesity climbs dramatically, and diabetes surges. After discovering his own coronary blockages, the journey became personal. Tests revealed elevated lipoprotein A, doubling coronary disease risk. As a South Asian, the odds stacked higher. Smaller coronary arteries, denser cholesterol particles, possibly thrifty genes creating abdominal fat. Studies of Dean Ornish's cardiac rehabilitation program reveal that social support and stress management may be the most important pieces. Depressed heart attack patients were 4 times likelier to die within 6 months. Your mindset, coping strategies, capacity to transcend distress, capacity to love, these are matters of life and death. The heart responds not just to medicine, but to meaning.